Okay, call the meeting to order. This is the Genoa Township Board of Zoning Appeals. It is February 27th, 2024, 7 p.m., and we are at the Genoa Township Hall, 5111 South Old 3C Highway, Westerville, Ohio, 43082. We have two cases on the agenda, BZA case 2024-01, which is an area variance at 6212 Jaycox Road. And then we have a second agenda item, which is BZA case 2024-02, which is also an area variance for 10099 Galena Point. We have staff present, Joe Schaefer, Director of Development and Zoning, Paul Hansen, Deputy Zoning Inspector in the back, and I will call the roll. Ms. Yu?
Here.
Mr. DeRose?
Here.
Mr. Christian?
Here.
And the chair is present. I will read the following statement into the minutes. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the board's established and publicly available rules of procedure. It may be recorded. Such a recording is a public record and may be posted on the township website. All attendees, including board members and staff, are expected to behave in an orderly, non-disruptive manner. All applicants will be granted an opportunity to make their formal presentation. The audience will then be granted an opportunity to comment, followed by the applicant's response and questions from the board. Public comments shall be limited to designated time periods directed to the board, of relevance to the board's business and the topic at hand, and limited to 5 minutes per person unless otherwise authorized. The chair reserves the right to restrict the number of times a member of the public is permitted to speak to only once per authorized comment period, and may enact any other reasonable ad hoc proposals necessary to maintain a fair, safe, or orderly meeting. These policies were adopted by the Board of Zoning Appeals to provide for the respectful, constructive, and efficient discussion of business and to allow for due process as required by law. The first item on our agenda tonight is review and approval of the board minutes from December 19th, 2023. I'll give you a moment to look those over, and then I will entertain a motion to approve.
I move for approval.
Thank you, Bob. Second, Jared? Okay. Any discussion, any items, corrections, anything? No? Okay. Then I will entertain, we've got a motion, a second. All in favor of approval of the meeting minutes from December 28th, that was November 28th, excuse me, 2023, I'll get it right, trust me. December 19th, 2023, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain
by Ms. Yu. Meeting minutes are approved for December 19th, 2023. Second set of minutes is from our meeting where we revised and updated the rules of procedure of January, it says December 19th, but it's not. It's January 23rd, 2024. I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Okay. As presented, I assume?
As presented.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Teresa. And all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Jared abstains. Okay. Motion's approved. Okay. And we will go into our first case. So those that are here for our first case, which is the very area variance case, 6212 Jaycox Road, please stand and raise your right hand so you can be sworn in. Okay. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay, you may be seated.
Mark?
Yes.
Whoever's bringing it, tell me if you can set up here.
Yeah. Let me read this in the record, and then we'll have them come up. Okay. Oh, I want to announce before the hearing opens that As you notice, there's four of us here tonight. We are a five-member board with two alternates. Mr. DeRose and Mr. Christian are both alternates, although they have served on the board for a period of time. But it will require three of us to agree with a motion to approve. And if you're comfortable with that, then we'll proceed. If the applicant is not, then you're certainly welcome to continue the hearing until next month. So if the applicant actually wants to either come to the podium or to the table here. You, sir, are the applicant?
I am.
If you would be so kind as to introduce yourself, name and address.
Robert Scott, 6212 Jaycox Road.
Okay, Mr. Scott, are you comfortable with three votes of the board tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then we'll go ahead and proceed. If you want to, you're welcome to take a seat. And if you have anybody with you, they're welcome to come up with you and present when the time comes. I'm going to go ahead and read the application into the record. Robert A. and Annette J. Scott requesting approval of a variance to allow for the creation of two lots of less than the required 2 acres from an existing 3.936 acre parcel located at 6212 Jaycox Road, Galena, Ohio, 43021, currently zoned rural residential, RR, and this is BZA case 2024-01. The legal notice for this hearing was printed and published on February 14th, 2024, in the Delaware Gazette and posted at the Genoa Township Hall on February 5th, 2024. An attempt to mail notice of this hearing to property owners contiguous to and across the street from the subject property was also made. And we will enter into evidence at this time exhibits A through D, which includes the legal notice, the sign-in sheet, application, and staff report dated February 23rd, 2024. And we'll start with Mr. Schaefer with the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, this is an area variance request for 6212 Jaycox Road, Galena, Ohio, 43021, parcel 317-230-01014-000, owned by Robert and Annette Scott. They also had assistance on the application from EJ O'Leary, TOC, LLC. As noted in the legal description, the lot size currently is 3.936 acres. Zoned rural residential. So a little bit of history before we dive into the request. The subject parcel was created in July of 92. According to the Delaware County Auditor's site, the dwelling located on the parcel was also built in 1992. A copy of the zoning permit issued for the construction of the residence was not found in the zoning records. Not terribly abnormal, given that was a couple decades ago. According to the Delaware County Auditor's site, the current property owners purchased the subject property in October of 99. Zoning permit number 2009-058 was issued for the construction of an accessory building in March of 2009. Note, although the location of the accessory building appears to be compliant with the setback requirements, the accessory building does not appear to have been constructed as proposed on the site plan provided for the issued zoning permit. No additional zoning permits were found on file for the property. In terms of the variance request, the request is written, was written as to allow the existing lot to be split into equal parcels asking relief of 2 acre minimum. So a staff note regarding that is that the variance application form does not list the section number of the zoning resolution relief is being sought from. That would be Article 6, Section 606.01, being the section that states that the minimum lot area in the rural residential zoning district. This fact needs to be stated and clarified by the applicant for the public record during the hearing. And then again, Section 606.01 of the resolution reads, quote, minimum lot area, 2 acres, period, any portion of a lot within a common access drive easements shall not count towards this requirement, period, end quote. Another staff note, the submitted drawing proposes a northern lot with frontage on Jaycox Road and another landlocked lot immediately to the south of the former, with access presumably being provided via a 20-foot easement along the eastern edge of the northern lot. Each lot would have a lot area of approximately 1.88 acres. Moving on to application details, regarding whether the property in question will yield a reasonable return or whether there can be any beneficial use of the property with it, the application states, quote, no, without variance, the additional residence cannot be created, end quote. Regarding whether the variance is substantial, the application states, quote, yes, without the variance, the additional residence cannot be created, end quote. Regarding whether the essential character of the neighborhood would be substantially altered or whether adjoining properties would suffer substantial detriment as a result of the variance, the application states, quote, no, there are numerous examples of residences built behind and around existing residences, end quote. Regarding whether the variance would adversely affect the delivery of governmental services, the application states, quote, no, all utilities will be routed through the access corridor to the rear lot. Septic systems will be independent. Garbage, mail, etc. will be at the road slash entrance to the drive, end quote. Regarding whether the property owner purchased the property with knowledge of the zoning restriction, the application states, quote, owner was not aware of this restriction, end quote. Regarding the property owner's predicament, can the property owner's predicament feasibly be obviated through some method other than a variance? The application states, quote, no, end quote. Regarding whether the spirit and intent behind the zoning requirement would be observed and substantial justice done by granting the variance, the application states, quote, yes, we are only asking for a variance of 0.032 acres per lot or 0.8% reduction of the required 2 acres, end quote. Staff note, the 0.08% reduction is not accurate as the front lot line, per the definition of the zoning resolution, falls along the street right away, or the as we define it, falls along the street right away. The right-of-way portion of a lot is subtracted from the size of the lot when a new lot is created. With the reduction of the right-of-way, each lot would be no larger than 1.88 acres or a 0.12% reduction. So we're basically saying there is a lot of times on these older lots, they're deeded to the center line of the road. When a subdivision occurs, right, and we'll get into this more in detail in a moment, there's usually a right-of-way dedication that goes with it that subtracts that acreage. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to get into detail on that in just a moment in the staff review, or staff comments, which begin now. So staff comment number one, section 606.02 of the zoning resolution requires at least 150 feet of lot frontage or 60 feet of frontage for a flag lot. The site plan provided as part of the variance application submission proposes the creation of a landlocked lot as defined by the zoning resolution in Article 4, Section 402, under the definition of lot and then the subdefinition of landlocked lot. The Genoa Township zoning resolution requires landlocked lots comply with the township's minimum frontage requirements and that they be accessed from a common access driveway, otherwise known as a CAD, constructed in accordance with Delaware County subdivision regulations. Per zoning resolution section 606.02D, 606.03, and 1602. The current plan does not include a county-approved CAD and thus does not comply with the zoning resolution. Access easements and shared access easements alone do not qualify as a common access driveway, CAD. To qualify as a common access driveway, aka CAD, such a configuration must comply with all the standards for such established by the various Delaware County agencies that regulate them. See the definition of common access driveway in Article 4, Section 402 of the resolution. Staff suggests that the applicant contact Delaware County Regional Planning Commission, aka DCRPC, to discuss the requirements before proceeding with this variance request. Staff comment number two, according to the recorded plat survey, the subject parcel contains a portion of Jaycox Road, as I just noted. The size of the proposed lots may be further reduced if the Delaware County Engineer's Office requires the dedication of additional road right-of-way. This would also require more substantial variance be requested as the post-dedication acreage of the desired lots would be even smaller. Minus the land which is occupied by Jaycox Road, the parcel is approximately 3.77 acres. Staff suggests that the applicant review the proposed lot split with Delaware County Engineer's Office before proceeding with this variance request. Staff comment number three. As proposed, staff has concerns that the on-site waste treatment system for the existing house would be located on the newly created lot. See attachment email from Scott Sanders, Director of Delaware County Regional Planning, dated February 21st, 2024. And that should be attached to the memorandum for your consideration.
Yes, it is.
An exhibit that shows the current primary and secondary on-site waste system locations and the proposed primary and secondary waste systems for the new lot should be provided. If the lots will be connected to sewer, documentation that the connection is available should be provided from the Delaware County Regional Sewer District. Staff suggests that the applicant contact DCRPC and other relevant county agencies to address this matter before proceeding with this variance. Comment number four, the 20-foot easement shown on the plan is presumed to be for access but is not labeled as such. Furthermore, per Delaware County subdivision regulations, the creation of a CAD or a common access driveway requires a 60-foot easement, as well as certain construction standards. A variance from the county subdivision regulations for the easement width via DCRPC would be needed for any departure from this standard. See attached email again from the DCRPC director, dated February 21st, 2024, for reference. Staff cannot verify if all other aspects of the proposed lot split are compliant with the zoning resolution, that the degree of variance currently being requested is sufficient, or that no other variances are needed without some level of confidence that the lot split design is going to comply with county regulations, as any revisions required by the county could have a ripple effect and or render the current proposal moot. The best way to address staff's concern is, again, for the applicant to obtain preliminary subdivision approval from the county prior to the subject variance request being heard and decided. Since such a process involves numerous county agencies, most, if not all, of the county-related items mentioned above would be resolved, hopefully. If the applicant opts to pursue such approval, this variance application would need to either be tabled for the time being or withdrawn. This would allow the applicant to untable and present a modified as necessary plan or apply with a revised as necessary plan at a later date. Under Ohio law, subdivision authority rests with the county, regardless of what the applicant chooses to proceed with, the current application. Preliminary and final subdivision approval processes administered by DCRPC will need to be followed. The applicant should be aware that there may be potential legal issues for reapplying for a similar variance if the current request is denied. Neither staff nor the BZA can opine on or advise the applicant regarding this matter. Genoa Township Police, Fire, and Maintenance Departments have reviewed the variance application and did not have any concerns or comments. The legal notice was published, you already read all that part, so I'm not going to rehash that. A copy of the legal notice was mailed via U.S. mail to adjacent property owners, and notification signs were placed on the subject property on February 13th, 2024. As of the date of this memo, staff is not aware of any inquiries concerning the variance request on the subject property. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure there will be some questions and discussion about this application, so I will turn it back over to you for the time being and make myself available to answer such questions.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions for staff? Because I was going to just turn it over to the applicant and then we can go from there, or what's your pleasure? Mr. Scott, have you seen the staff report?
I have not.
Okay.
You'll need to turn the microphone. We record these and it will go through the internet, so we just need to have that mic.
Okay. Then why don't you go ahead and do your presentation, and then we'll come back, and because there are concerns, obviously, from staff. Mm-hmm. And that need to be addressed. And I wonder if, and this is totally up to you, I wonder if you would like to address those and return or not. That's your choice. So, sure. And please introduce yourself for the record.
Peter O'Leary.
Peter O'Leary?
O'Leary.
Yeah, okay.
I guess you can call me naive to this process. Usually where counties I'm in, we go through zoning first.
Are you a contractor?
Yes.
Okay, you're the builder.
Correct. So okay. We go through these other steps before. We don't go through those steps. We go through zoning and then we do the other steps where I'm from. So call me naive in this process. But
no,
this was really more looking at.
We do this every month.
I get it. Is it amiable to separate this lot or not?
Okay.
And before I go through 15 other steps, it was just looking at it because it is unique. Condition where you're building behind an existing residence,
right?
On whether this board would look favorable on it or not, being that it's in close proximity to another subdivision that's right behind it. So the kind of conditions around it kind of lend to that's what's happening there. So I guess that's where we were going with it, to see how this is. But if I have to go to the engineering department to get other things, at least preliminary approved, I guess, before we come back here, then we can table it.
Well, yeah, because we're approving a variance to the resolution, and so until that's done, we don't really know what the variance is. We can't approve go ahead and do this, and whatever the variance is, that's fine. We need the exact amount or.
Yeah, obviously, this is a monetary issue too, because going through all of those steps costs a lot of money.
Of course.
To do.
Well, here's my concern, and I'm just one guy sitting here. My concern is that staff, and I've been on this board for a long time, staff has pointed out a number of issues mm-hmm. that potential issues that should be addressed. And I think they're all legitimate, valid issues. And I think you're a little premature if you don't address these. I mean, we can discuss them, but, you know, I rarely see them where there's this. In fact, I don't remember in 13 years seeing this many issues on a staff report that aren't either addressed at the time of the meeting, but it looks like really there needs to be some contact with the county.
All of these issues that are being brought up, except for the septic, which I did call the septic or the health department to talk to them. They have no issues uh-huh. with what we're looking at doing.
Okay.
All the other ones seem to apply to taking acreage away. So we're shrinking that 2 acre minimum.
It's actually, reading through the staff report, if it was a matter of, actually, if it looked like that side to side and you wanted to split it in half and call it a day, that's one application.
Sure.
But what you've got is you've got one in front of the other, which creates, under our code, and really for the purpose of the county, it really creates a different issue. And from my standpoint, when I was listening to Mr. Schaefer, I have a concern that, and I'm a little surprised that we didn't have a comment from the fire department, because I don't see the way that that's drawn, and I'm just thinking out loud here, that you could get a fire truck in there with a 20-foot driveway and get it out. I see a myriad of issues, let's put it that way. And that's just, like I said, I'm just one guy here. I just happen to run the meeting. But I see a number of issues. We can handle this however you'd like to handle it, though.
Had you read the staff report? I don't know if you wanted to provide a response.
I still wanted to come to hear what you guys had to say. That's
absolutely, you're right. You can do that.
This gives me a feel for where this thing is going to head and how much effort we put forward.
I absolutely understand. Go ahead.
For my purposes, you know, the variance, we sit and decide variances all the time, and you know, whether it's 2%, as you said, or it gets up to 1%, as long as all the other ducks are in a row, the variance becomes, you know, it's whether there's other issues that would cause problems for the actual amount at the end. So I think at this point, it's hard, at least I'm speaking for myself, it's hard to say yes or no to a variance when there are outstanding items that, you know, the amount that it moves the or reduces the lot may not impact my decision. If everything else is in line, then I'm looking at is whether in this landlocked lot do we stand by the fact that it has to be 2 acres. But with all these questions hanging out there, you know, I don't know what I'm really asking. I don't think we're supposed to give advisory opinions. So I think for my purpose, target. I need to have those so that
for
we
me, can, it's a moving target, especially with all these issues. I don't know, there's what, 4 or 5 of them. And it really seems as though, excuse me, that DCRPC is going to be heavily involved in it. Their opinion will be quite significant. In a matter like this. Like I said, if they were side by side, there wasn't the driveway issue, the septic issue, the other issues. The size, while important, isn't especially as important as the other issues for me.
Okay.
Teresa?
Yeah, I would say, because it's, I mean, even splitting it, it's kind of in line with, you know, the other properties around Jaycox.
Right, and I understand that these back up to a subdivision,
correct. Mm-hmm.
But that subdivision has completely different zoning as well.
I get it. So, it's just more of the spirit of what we're trying to do here.
I understand. So. I absolutely understand. I hope you understand where we're coming from, too. We're not trying to sit here and deny an application, a valid application. We're actually trying to make the application make sense so that we could craft, in fact, a motion that would make sense and address staff's issues as well, which I'm not sure that that's necessarily possible. But that's, like I said, I'm just one vote. So
if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
So, normally the zoning can come first in a lot of these instances, so the applicant didn't do necessarily anything wrong.
This
project just has some unique factors to it that complicate the matter, I think, as you're alluding to. The landlocked nature of the lot,
right.
The right-of-way dedication question in the CAD, especially the CAD width, which, regarding the fire access, that's why those CADs at the county level typically are 60 feet wide, and there's construction standards, and there's usually passing lanes after certain lengths that have to happen for the emergency vehicle.
Sure. And Jaycox is a purposes. Pretty narrow road in itself.
Correct. So, candidly, we just felt like it was, you know, even though I don't work for the applicant, I don't represent the applicant, I didn't think it was really going to be fair to them, really, for staff to say, oh, yeah, go ahead, board, vote on this, because our concern was, okay, that we, even if we would approve this, then it goes back regional planning, county, and say they somehow get through it, but the plan gets changed and modified. Now it doesn't match your variance.
Right.
I can't sign the plat because it no longer matches what the BZA
and then it becomes
approved.
A match.
And then there becomes a question of, can they even come back and apply for a variance on the lot size if you already voted on that matter? And that's that's sort of the legal matter I spoke to that I can't advise them on because I'm not the attorney.
Right.
But there could be problems there, as well as are there other variances they may have to come back for and ask for. So then they're paying another $600 coming to another meeting. So
right.
While they've probably bought another, at least not bought, but while they probably are going to have another meeting at least to deal with this, if we continue or table it, there's not going to be a fee. There is a fee associated with the untabling fee because we have to rerun the ad. So there may or may not be a cost savings if we continue it to a date, time, and place certain in the future, though, and you just say it's going to be a few months out, knowing that if that doesn't work for them, they're going to have to ask for another continuance or then
that's
request
fine.
To table it. That's an option for you.
Sure,
say you want to give them 90, 120 days
yeah.
to work through the county, and either they'll figure out that they can make it work, revise the plans, or just withdraw if it's not going to happen.
Right. What do you think the time frame would be to work through
that?
60 days-ish? I don't have a feel for that at all.
I would say 90 probably to be on the
really?
Safe side,
okay.
just in case they've got to do some homework or some major revisions. I would hope it'd be less than that, but
I'm pretty, you know, and in years past, and you may or may not be aware of this, but I'm pretty agreeable to continuing. I would rather continue an application and make it make sense so that it's something that we can work with and approve, as opposed to just denying it. I don't think that does anybody any good. I would prefer, and this is a normal course of business for us to continue an application, you know, month, mm-hmm. 2 months, 3 months, if whatever it takes, if you're comfortable with that. If you're not, I'm not encouraging you to do one or the other. If you want to proceed with the application, we can, but it's basically your call. Yes, go ahead, Bob.
I know that we're not to give advisory opinions, but we can discuss a few things that the applicant can listen to.
Sure. Absolutely.
This goes really to what my concern was, and the staff brought it up. Even if we were to grant this, and it sounds, even if we granted the variance as asked for today,
right.
there's a high probability that once they go through the process,
yeah.
that the split is going to be smaller. That's the best way to put it.
Right.
And
what we agree to today,
as staff has pointed out, may not be what comes out on the other end.
Right.
And
what if it's 1.75
and do the whole thing over again?
Back.
Because
yeah,
our variance no longer
yeah
fits
you're,
their
you're
plan. So
right
I you know I think for my I would like to see this you know. It would be probably best if it got continued. And if we set it out 90 days, if let's say their process was done sooner,
oh, you
could they ask
sooner.
To be put back on the
agenda?
Well, if you continue it to a date, time, and place certain, the expectation from the legal record
that's
is going to be that it won't occur before that date, time, and place.
That's,
so
that's right, yes.
Okay. That's the difference. So that's a lot of people hear tabling and continuing and sort of think it's the same thing. With the way the town we look at it here in Genoa is continuance, we usually mean we're going to a date, time, and place certain.
Right.
Tabling means we don't know when you're coming back, so the public doesn't know when you're coming back, which is why we have to charge the fee when they want to untable, because then we have to rerun the ad.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of the applicant?
Absolutely.
In your experience, Mr. O'Leary, how long does it take to run through what you've seen on the staff's memo?
It could easily be 3 months.
Easily, too. Easily.
Okay. Yeah, so regional planning meets this Thursday.
The big
meeting where we actually vote on stuff. Yeah. So even if he could turn it, flip it all around tomorrow, at earliest, he's probably not going to be on until the March agenda. Probably more likely the April agenda, because I'm sure he's got probably other items on his list, and there may be some things that they have to work through. And then if there are some stumbling blocks, that's what actually would even carry them. I don't know if our regional planning is before your May meeting or not, but this would at least give them the opportunity to get on the April agenda, possibly, and be voted on, and then be ready to come back and submit revised materials and be back before you for your May 28th meeting. I'm sorry, I don't recall off the top of my head what regional planning's meeting is in May, whether it would be before or after.
I think you're about right.
Are we able to continue this for 60 days from now, and then if all this doesn't come to fruition, I come back and continue again? Is that possible?
I'm just trying to see how the calendar works out, because...
Yeah.
So, let's see.
So your preference would be to continue for 60 days?
60 days.
And then
hopefully I can get it.
In the event you can't get where you need to get, then you go.
I'll just come back here and ask for another continuance.
Okay.
So just logistically speaking, sure, your next meeting is March 26th. Regional planning meets on March 28th. So they absolutely will not hear it before your next meeting.
Right.
After that, your next meeting, I believe, is April 23rd. Regional planning's next meeting is April 25th. So if we're talking approximately 2 months out to April 23rd, they absolutely will be able to submit and get a vote and have everything cleaned up by the March meeting. I think that's why I was recommending the 90 days, because that seems pretty tight to me.
I think your number is right. We'll do whatever you want, but I think the 90 is probably because of the sequence of the meetings.
Yeah, regional planning meets May 30th. Your meeting's on May 28th. So, but I feel like carrying this into summer doesn't make a lot of sense. So, I think
I don't want to see you guys in the summer series.
Joe, what would be the consequence of doing a 60-day continuance, and then if it doesn't come to
nothing other than they would just have to request a continuance, and we would just roll on. So, you could do it that way.
We've done that before, not often, but we have done that.
You would just reopen the hearing. Susan would present the continuance, and then you would just pick a new date. Hopefully, the applicant would tell us what date they want to go to in advance.
So, what's your pleasure?
So it's really their choice.
Continuing for 60 days.
60? Okay.
So it'll be approximately 60, because I don't know exactly what the math.
It's
April
23rd.
Is
around it. Yeah.
The next meeting, the April meeting.
You know what? I'm gonna I'll make a motion to continue here. And what's that?
Script?
It was right at the door slam,
before,
Joe. So tell
before
me
we
again.
Make a motion. Is there any questions or comments you guys have?
So it's what?
Okay.
Is that?
Fair enough.
What's
that threshold on the acreage before you go? No, we can't do it.
There is not an answer to that. Is my answer to that?
The roundabout answer.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Yeah, I do.
I'm just curious if
Oh, okay. Top one. Okay, I'm going to make a motion to that we continue this public hearing for the subject known as 6212 Jaycox Road. This is BZA case number 2024-01 until April,
23rd.
At 7 p.m. in the Genoa Township Hall. Additional or revised materials will be due to the Genoa Township Development and Zoning Department by, I'm going to need help on that too, probably April 15th, is that right?
You want them, what, 1 week, 2 weeks prior?
I don't know. It's more of a you thing than a us thing as far as that is, when their deadline is to resubmit or submit any additional documentation.
April 15th works for staff.
Okay, let's make that April 15th. At 4 p.m., and I will entertain a second.
Second
by Mr. DeRose. Any discussion? Anyone else? No? I'll call the roll. Mr. Christian?
Yes.
Mr. DeRose?
Yes.
Ms. Yu?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Thank you, gentlemen, and hopefully we'll see you in 60 days.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and that concludes the hearing on the first case at 7:43. Let them go ahead and clear out.
Can you hear him?
No. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Whether they appreciate it or not, they got it. Trouble. Save them some trouble in the long run.
Well, yeah. Okay, hang on. I need a moment here.
They may not see it that way.
Well,
on the script, you're onto the bottom of page 5.
Well, look at that. There it is.
Joe's got it memorized.
I don't know. See,
when we go out of order, it's all.
I think it's just another senior moment. How about that? Okay.
So. Like I said, keep at it. You'll get it.
You know, this chair thing isn't as easy as it looks. Okay. We will open the second public hearing. It is 7:40. And I will read the case. We'll call it to order, and I will read the legal notice. Oh, all those that are here to appear on this case, please stand, raise your right hand, so I can swear you in. There you go. Okay, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Be seated. Okay, I will read the application into the record. Amy M. Mary requesting approval of a variance to construct a 25.5 feet tall accessory building which exceeds the maximum allowed accessory building height of 22 feet on a lot under 3 acres at 10099 Galena Point, Galena, Ohio, 43021, which is currently zoned rural residential, RR. And this is VZA case 2024-02. The legal notice for this hearing was printed and published on February 14th, 2024, in the Delaware Gazette and posted at the Genoa Township Hall on February 5th, 2024. An attempt to mail notice of this hearing to property owners contiguous to and across the street from the subject property was also made. The following were marked as Exhibits A through D: the legal notice, the sign-in sheet, the application, and the staff report, which is dated February 23rd, 2024. And we will begin with Mr. Schaefer with the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You already noted the address and the property owners and the acreage, so of 1.41 acres on the property we're seeing the variance request for, so I'm going to jump right into the history. The plat for Galena Point was recorded in May of 99. According to the county auditor's site, the current property owners are the original owners of the residence. Zoning permit 99441 was issued for the construction of the dwelling on June 23rd of 1999. On December 7th, 2023, a residential improvement application was submitted to the Development and Zoning Department for the construction of an accessory building on the subject property. On December 11th of 23, staff sent an email to the applicant, Thomas Mary, informing him that as proposed, the 20-foot, 5-foot, 8-inch tall accessory building exceeded the maximum height of 22 feet allowed for such per Article 16, Section 1609.01 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. After several additional emails between staff and Mr. Mary, a request to withdraw the residential improvement application was received on January 2nd, 2024. Copies of the email correspondence were supposedly attached, although I don't have it attached to mine. Subsequently, the variance application, as noted above, was received on January 30th, 2024. The variance request is Section 1609.01. Which reads that all accessory buildings shall be in conformity with the following provisions. And then 1609.01d reads, the maximum height shall not exceed 22 feet on a lot under 3 acres in size. On parcels 3 acres or larger, the maximum height shall not exceed 35 feet. The request is, quote, seeking to build an accessory structure, parentheses, detached garage, end parentheses, 25 and a half feet in height, end quote. Application details. Regarding whether the property in question will yield a reasonable return on, or whether there can be any beneficial use of the property with it, the application states, quote, property greatly improved by proposed detached garage. Many property owners in subdivision currently have sheds, detached garages, or other accessory structures. The existing structure has reached its storage capacity and beneficial use of the property will be hampered without variance, end quote. Regarding whether the variance is substantial, the application states, quote, the variance is not substantial, only 3.5 feet higher than code. The 25.5 height matches the existing eastern gable of the residence and is shorter than the second story gable, 31 feet. Variance needed to match the existing roof pitches, end quote. Regarding whether the essential character of the neighborhood would be substantially altered or whether adjoining properties would suffer a substantial detriment as a result of the variance, the application states, quote, essential character of neighborhood would not be altered. Several homes in the neighborhood have detached garages. Proposed garages will match existing home and exterior finishes. Detached garage will not be used for commercial purposes and will increase property values, end quote. Regarding whether the variance would adversely affect the delivery of governmental services, the application states, quote, variance will have no bearing or hindrance on the provision of governmental services, end quote. Regarding whether the property owner purchased the property with knowledge of the zoning restriction, the application states, quote, unsure of when the zoning restriction was put into place, end quote. Regarding the property owner's predicament, feasibly can be obviated through some method other than a variance, the application states, quote, property owner's predicament cannot be obviated with substantial change to proposed structure. Proposed structure must exceed height requirement in order to maintain size of the proposed structure and consistent roof pitch, end quote. Regarding whether the spirit and intent behind the zoning requirement would be observed and substantial justice done by granting the variance, the application states, quote, could find no legislative history regarding the intent of the zoning requirement. However, the variance is minimal and substantial justice will be served as the proposed structure is similar in size, finish, and design of existing home. Proposed garage will not obstruct or block neighboring property owner's view, end quote. Staff comments. Not too many here. Article 4, Section 402 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, effective May 20th, 2023, defines building height as, quote, the vertical distance measured from the average elevation of the finished grade along the front of the building to the highest point of a structure, end quote. The applicant is seeking a variance to construct a 25.5-foot tall accessory building, which is 3.5 feet taller, aka 15.9% more than the allowed per the 22-foot maximum height per the zoning resolution. Genoa Township Police, Fire, and Maintenance Departments have reviewed the variance application and did not have any concerns or comments. The legal notice was published in the Delaware Gazette, and again, we already read that, so I'm going to skip that. A copy of the legal notice was mailed via U.S. mail to the adjacent property owners, and a notification sign was posted on the subject property on February 13, 2024. As of the date of this memo, staff is not aware of any inquiries concerning the variance request for the subject property. I'm also just going to editorialize here real quick. I know you've seen a lot of height variances before you lately. I will say the Zoning Commission is looking at making some changes to those standards. We're finding that what's in the books now, we changed it a few years ago after Genoa Baptist came in and some people weren't happy with it. But I think we may have gone too far with it. The current methodology is working well for non-residential buildings because those are usually flat roofs or not terribly pitched.
Yeah.
It's not working out so well for the residential stuff. So we're looking at some new solutions, possibly what's old is new again regarding to residential heights, to maybe address the issue and hopefully eventually lead to fewer variance requests. Because obviously when we start seeing request after request after request, especially if they're being approved and requested by the community continuously and approved by the BZA, that's a sign we need to probably do something in the code.
I think we've had four in about the last 7 months.
There's been a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know when, if any, changes will go through. It's going to take a long time. It's part of a much larger omnibus amendment that the commission's working on.
Sure, of course.
But I just wanted to put that on your radar before we get too far into this, that we're looking at it.
No, I appreciate that, because that has habitually been my first question, is how we got here. Okay, let's have the Mr. Mary, Mrs. Mary, whoever is going to, or the applicant, come on up, and either the table or the podium, whatever is most comfortable. And I will remind you, I didn't announce it before I had Mr. Schaefer speak, is there's only four of us. And if you're comfortable with just, you have to have three of us vote yes for the motion for the application to be approved, and I assume you're comfortable with that because you didn't run out of the room. So, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself and Tell us about your application.
My name is Thomas Mary. I'm the applicant for this variance application.
Oh, okay.
And I am a resident at 10099 Galena Point Drive. I believe that the questions set forth or the factors identified in the Duncan v. Middlefield case, I believe we've met those, and I think we, I think we should be granted this very small variance on this proposed accessory structure. Without the variance, you know, we can't keep the proposed garage the same size. It would have to, you know, we would have to, you know, make the proposed garage smaller than what we would like it to be. And I think that given how slight a variance this is, it's the board should approve it.
Okay, let me ask a few questions. Maybe this will enlighten the board here a little bit. This is proposed construction, correct? It is not currently, it's not in place. Okay. And you're building a three-car garage, and above it is storage. Is that the intent?
Open workspace.
Above. Okay.
Yeah, I just said.
Open. There is currently a structure, though, right?
There's currently a home on the lot. Yes.
Not an outbuilding. Just a home.
Just a home.
Okay.
With an attached three-car garage.
Okay.
Okay. And so you just wanted an accessory structure with a three-car garage and a workspace up above.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Paul. That's what I needed, but I didn't see before. So, excuse me.
Sure.
And so you're gonna, it's gonna end up back in here. Is that
no, right? It'll be right to the, right north of the existing pad.
Right. Oh, okay.
Right.
And it's gonna be inside the boundary is where it needs to be and everything.
Yes. Okay. Yes. There's a site plan on the application.
Page one. Yeah, it's there. Yep, there it is.
Yeah, it's there. I didn't. Yeah, thanks.
I missed it too the first time I saw it.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I see it. You know. Okay. Oh, there you go. It's blown up. I can actually see it now. All right. Garage. Not for commercial purposes, just, yeah, okay. So, and then I assume that the reason it's being built in the manner that it's being built is that with the high-pitched roof, it's to conform to the remainder of the home.
Yeah, I think in the deed restrictions, I believe the minimum pitch is 912.
Okay. And is there an HOA in your subdivision?
There is a corporation that has been formed. It's called the Galena Point Homeowners Association.
Okay.
It's not active.
Oh, it's not.
Have the ability to impose liens.
Okay.
But the nonprofit corporation is registered with the Ohio Secretary of State.
Okay. And there's dues. And do they have any standards that you have to comply with
The Homeowners Association is inactive. There are no dues.
Oh, okay.
But the deed restrictions that are on file with the Delaware County Recorder's Office are a matter of public record, and the deed restrictions have various standards, which all of the properties
would meet their standards,
yes.
Potentially.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you're not going to have an HOA issue. Because he has the restrictions,
but nothing neighbors are going to bug him about it.
Exactly. Well, we get that from time to time where a homeowner will come in and they'll say, well, this is what I want to do. Well, have you been to your homeowners association? Well, we usually ask them to do that first so that they don't run into an issue with them, because usually if they run into an issue with them, we won't see them. So, okay. I really don't think I have any other questions. Do you guys have anything?
It's pretty straightforward in my mind.
I'm sorry?
It's pretty straightforward in my mind.
Okay.
What's the height restriction on a residence?
On a residence? 35.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's 35.
With some
we just
potential
last month
modifications.
Yeah, I know, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, if this was a 3-plus acre parcel, they'd be entitled to the 35. And that's another thing we're looking at in the code. I don't know why it's 3 acres instead of the 2 acres matches the zoning. It's one of those things that just always sort of has been, so that's also on the list of things to look at, of whether that number should drop down and be more aligned with 2 acres.
And if this were attached, if the garage were attached to the house, it would be 35.
Yeah, if it was attached to the house, this would be a non-issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's most of what I had in my
house. All right. Guys.
Yeah.
Oh, any members of the public wish to speak on this application? Oh. Well, sir, I don't want to leave you out.
Well, introduce yourself. Order is you missed it on the last meeting, but we'll have to see.
No, it was a continuance.
If it's continued, we don't have
a continuance. Well, as soon as you sit here, sir, you can have all the public comment you want.
All right, my name is Rick Whelan. I'm at 9500 Freeman's Drive. And I'm here tonight to talk about a couple things on this. One of them was the matter of the deed restriction. Do you have a copy of that at all that you can present to the board at all?
Sir, if you direct your comments to the board rather than the applicant.
I'd like to see if you can get a copy of the deed restriction, because he's facing a lot of his stuff on that deed restriction as far as the pitch requirement, I believe, on the roof.
Yes, I have a copy of the deed restrictions.
Okay. And I'd like to see if the resident has a copy of the plans of his existing house, because he's saying he wants to match the 9-12 pitch of the existing house. Is that correct?
I do.
And you have some plans that show that the house is 9-12 too, correct?
I would need to confirm that, but yes.
Yeah, those are the things I'd like to confirm, because that's what he's basing his variance and stuff on.
Well, sir, as soon as you sit here, you can absolutely do that.
You hear my questions to the board.
Those are fair questions, but ultimately we don't have to take all existing commentary into account when we make the decision. So yes, he may be basing his choice to make the pitch of the garage or the height of the garage. He may be making that choice personally based off of the pitch or height of his roof, but that's insignificant to us.
Frankly, I don't think it's insignificant. I think it's totally irrelevant.
Well, I mean.
Well, I disagree, because I think it is relevant, because it goes to the building design, on what type of building.
We're not the architectural committee for the township.
But he's here because that building design is pushing him over our limit. That's what I'm addressing. See, his building design is causing him to get a variance, because the building design is requiring 3.5 feet over the existing cover.
Even if it didn't require it and he just wanted to build it, we would still consider the application.
That's exactly right. That's what I meant. I would consider the application regardless of the height of his current house.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that show 9? Because if it shows 9-12, then I agree with him trying to match his garage and stuff too. If not, I would offer that the board can consider his stuff reducing it to an 8-12 pitch and lowering the height of that building, so it's not such a significant rise over the code that we have. That's the reason I wanted to bring that up. Another issue was, do you have Carol on your phone?
I do.
Please don't. Please address the board. The evidence isn't for you, sir.
I'd like to have the board see that then or whatever.
Okay.
If the board is reviewing materials, I'll need to take at least a picture of it so I can add it to the record so we have evidence of what was considered, or at least make copies.
Oh, you can continue.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah, because I think that's a major thing that he came up with, is because his builder wants to match. He said he wanted to match the height of the existing structure, which was a 9-12 pitch. Which, when you do that, then the builder has to come up with a design, and that's what forces his garage over the limit. If that garage was built with an 8-12 pitch, for the size that it is, it would lower his building height 17 inches. So it'd be putting closer to 24 feet at that point, which just happens to be what the code was 3 years ago on all garages before Joe mentioned that it got changed. 3 years ago in the whole township, the code was 24 feet for all garages on a parcel this size.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What's the proximity of your residence to this property?
I'm not adjacent to this property. I'm here because of the height variances that have been going on around the whole neighborhood that are causing problems. Bring up to these instances, to bring it to the attention of the board, to reiterate what Joe said as far as the zoning commission is probably going to be taking this stuff up. I've talked 8 months ago to take this stuff off, and it still hasn't been resolved. Eventually it will be, but that's why you guys are hearing so many of these cases. And I happen to live in a development where there was a case brought to you guys that you guys refused to hear because of these requirements over
that
the
limit.
That
is absolutely an inaccurate statement. We don't have a choice of what. You know what? I'm not going to debate you on any application.
I'm just offering the facts.
Fine.
On his Duncan versus Middlefield, number two, he says the variance is not substantial, that it's only 3.5 feet higher than the code. I disagree.
5%, right?
I disagree with that as far as height requirements. If it was 6 inches to 10 inches, I would agree that that would be very not substantial. When it's 3.5 feet, I think that is substantial. That's my opinion to the board, especially on height requirements. We're not talking about area of a foundation type of stuff here. This is very confusing with area of height requirements. And Joe does a little calculation on his thing and comes up with 17% or
15.9%,
you know, out of the blue, which is not relevant to a height requirement. I'm just saying, I don't agree with that calculation for height requirements. So it might be logistically logical for area, like square footage requirements, but not for a height.
So I'm going to give this deed to Joe here so he can make a copy of that. That's okay with you?
Is this your only copy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get a copy.
I was just asking on number two there, since he quoted that as far as the deed restrictions.
Mr. Whelan, you have 1 minute.
To prove that stuff. Another issue would be brought up on number four, whether this variance has no bearing on the entrance of governmental services. That possibly could, depending on his location. This will be up to the building department because it could be a fire issue. From where he has it placed on his drawing. Once again, number six, on Duncan, he said the owner could not be alleviated without a substantial change to the drawings. It could be alleviated with a minor change, a change in the roof pitch, which could be a consideration.
Okay, your time is up. Thank you, Mr. Whelan, for your comments.
One final comment that I'd like to say on behalf, I agree with this variance. I think it should be approved, and I think that the zoning commission will come back with certain heights to where his building would have been in code ahead of time, so he wouldn't have to go through this variance.
Great. Thank you. Okay, moving right along. Somebody want to go through...
Do you
want to respond to that at all?
You don't have to. It's not required.
I think I would say that the size of the total height of the existing residence is 31 feet, and I still don't think it's a substantial variance, and the pitch of the roof right next to the proposed structure is indeed, you know, it's a 9-12 pitch, and I want to match that pitch. So,
Well, thank you.
You can correct me if I'm wrong here, but there is a precedent for what is significant, right? And
yes.
It is 25%, which is less than...
Of what area?
25% of
increase. Change.
Yeah.
Change.
Yeah, yeah. Right. 25%.
It could be plus or minus.
Right.
And anything below that is not considered... substantial,
and that's
per legal.
I mean, that's
counsel.
Not written in stone either. That's really up
right.
to the.
It's
that's ultimately
that's,
the,
that's been the precedent. That's been the precedent that's
of the board as to what you feel is significant or insignificant. Yeah, 20 to 25 is sort of the number I hear thrown around when I go to conferences and trainings and whatnot.
And
some communities do lower. Some communities probably honestly do higher. But ultimately, it's up to the board to decide what is right for this application in this community.
Okay, every application stands on its own.
Yep.
Because we have had variances for more and for less. So, and it depends on the application and the circumstances. That's what we do here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Somebody want to go through the findings of fact? Okay. All right, I'm going to go through Duncan versus Middlefield as it pertains to the area variance requested. From section 1609.01, to allow for an accessory building to exceed the maximum height in a rural residential zoning district as follows. The property in question would yield a reasonable return, and there can be a beneficial use to the property without the variance. He could build it lower, he could not build it at all, but I think I'm going to leave it there. The variance is not substantial. We determined it's either, I think it, staff determined it's 17%, correct?
No, 15.9.
15.9, okay, which is not substantial. The essential character of the neighborhood would not be substantially altered, and the adjoining properties would not suffer substantial detriment as a result of the variance. And I think that's demonstrated by that there is no adjoining landowners here to testify. The reason that he's requesting the variance is to conform with not only the neighborhood but his home, which I think is important. The variance does not affect the delivery of governmental services. The property owner did. We, here at the Zoning Appeals Board, we have a presumption that ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we just assume that you purchased the property, built your structure with the knowledge of the zoning restriction. The property, you know, but that doesn't defeat the application either. So the property owner's predicament can be feasibly obviated through a method other than the variance, which, I mean, you can change the pitch, and we're going to come back to that in a minute. The spirit and intent behind the zoning requirement would be observed, and substantial justice would be done by granting the variance, because I think, and I've said that in here before, quite a few times lately, because we've seen a few of these cases, is that we're not the architectural committee here. We don't determine, you know, what I might like, you might not like, or you might not like. I happen to live in a house that is in a, you know, a subdivision. You might like to live on acreage. I'm not going to make that determination for the applicant, whether it's visually pleasing. And as far as the pitch of the roof is, quite honestly, a 15.9 variance for me is not substantial. And I think that it, again, to make him alter his plans, he's probably already engaged a contractor. I think it's actually kind of ridiculous, especially from the standpoint that the Zoning Commission is contemplating revising the zoning code where it may or may not be in compliance. And I'm going to make the assumption that it probably would be once they revise the code, because most of what we see is in this general 25 to 30 foot variance, 35 foot variance. So that's any other discussion? Any discussion? Bob, anything?
No, like I said, it's the whole nature of variance is that I see no reason why this variance, why the request would be denied.
No, I don't either. I agree. Jared, anything from you? No.
How far is the garage from the home? Is that supposed to be like a four and a little foot mark? I can't.
That's what it looks like to me.
Okay.
All right, the setback from the home. I don't know about.
I was thinking like
east to west. What?
Yeah,
it is.
I was thinking like east to west. It looks like about half that, so like 2 foot. But that would be really small, so it might not be what I think.
I can't tell from the plant, but I think it's between 3 and 4 feet.
Okay.
Probably just a pass through, breezeway pass through.
I mean, this is presumably going to be a pretty nice detached garage for your home. I mean, you know, where a lot of times we think of an accessory building as a shed or, you know,
right,
something that, you know, isn't quite as prominent. So
right,
where, you know, a lower roof, yep, you know, a lower height makes more sense. But
it's not a commercial use. It's
right. It's a residential use. It's clearly, when you look at the design, it's going to conform to the neighborhood.
Yeah. And the residents as well, so.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, okay. Anybody want to make a motion? Teresa?
I will move to incorporate exhibits A through E now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A through E. As well as the board's findings pertaining to the review of sections 307.06 of the Genoa Township zoning resolution into evidence and to approve the requested variance from section 1609.01D of the Genoa Township zoning resolution for BZA 2024-02, application received January 30th, 2024, to allow for an accessory building with a height of 25.5 feet. On property known as lot 4226 in Galena Point, subdivision 10099 Galena Point, Galena, Ohio, 43021, zoned rural residential. This motion is based on the following findings of fact pursuant to section 307.04 of the Genoa Township zoning resolution that such variance or modification will not be contrary to the public interest because... it is not substantial. It is,
right.
It's constructing a garage that will meet the deed restrictions. It will, and be in line with the current residence. That owing to special conditions, a literal enforcement of the zoning resolution will result in an unnecessary hardship because the garage would have to be smaller, redesigned. That the approval of such variance or modification thereof is consistent with the spirit of the zoning resolution and substantial justice shall be done thereby because, again, it is meeting the requirements of their deed restriction. I could use some help. It's in, I don't want to say in line with the rest of the neighborhood.
Well, it conforms to the neighborhood.
Conforms to the neighborhood.
And it's, I mean, it conforms to the neighborhood. It conforms to the... to the subject property.
Mm-hmm.
Conforms to the deed restrictions.
Right. And it's
yep.
and it is permitted per the deed restrictions. I think that's it.
Okay.
I think you're good.
Approval of the subject variance is subject to the owner's agreement to the following conditions. All required permits, zoning, or otherwise be obtained. Pursuant to section 307.11 of the Genoa Township zoning resolution, the approved variance shall lapse, expire, and be null and void ab initio if required zoning permits are not obtained within 1 year of the motion of this motion of approval. Extensions to this variance may be requested pursuant to sections 307.11.A and B of the Genoa Township zoning resolution as may be amended. And the Board of Zoning Appeals does grant the Genoa Township zoning inspector authority to extend this variance at their discretion, subject to the deadlines established within section 307.11.A of the Genoa Township zoning resolution, as may be amended.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Okay, further discussion. Anyone? Jared? No? I will call the roll. Mr. DeRose.
Approved.
Mr. Christian.
Yes.
Ms. Yu.
Yes.
Chair votes yes. So your application is approved. Thank you, sir. Okay, with...
Did you get your deed back? Did you get your deed
back? Oh, yeah, did you give me your copy? Okay. And this hearing is concluded at 8:13 p.m. Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor? All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
If you guys want to hang out,
no, sorry.
It's good with
you're
me.
Just rushing
any
ahead.
Opposed? No? Okay, then we are adjourned.